3. We want to take a picture after the message today with everybody. So gather up here after service today before you get scattered about. We're going to take a picture together. Romans 3, verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith. That's our subject. What things the law saith. Now what law is Paul referring to? We got to understand that if we're going to get anything out of this. What law is Paul referring to? Well, he's not referring to the new law that Christ gives to his people. Thursday night, we looked at Christ's new law in John 13, 34, and 35. If you haven't heard that message, I would encourage you to listen to it as an accompaniment to this message. It's titled Christ's New Law. Christ gives his new law to his disciples alone, to those he's teaching in the heart, and that includes his disciples today. Christ said, a new commandment, a new law, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The old Mosaic law said, love one another as you love yourself. Christ said, love one another as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. That's Christ's new law. It's not the law Paul speaks of in our text. This law is given by Christ, given to his disciples alone. It's given in spirit, in the new spirit, in the new birth. And this rule of love is the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. It's taught and it's increased of God. Paul said, bear ye one another's burdens. This is the sum and substance of it. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're under his rule. He's the rule we follow. Whatever Christ says, we look to him to learn all things. We don't look anywhere else but to Christ. Now in Romans, we're going to see another time, Paul is showing us, his whole point that he's showing us is believers are not under the law, but under grace. That's the whole point Paul's preaching. Those in whom Christ abides are under the law of faith in Christ and the law of love to brethren. That's the yoke we're under. Faith and love. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Paul said in Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So in our text, Paul's not speaking of the grace of Christ. He's not talking about believers being under grace. He's talking about another law. Nor is Paul referring to the law of creation. He's not referring to the law of creation. Remember he talked to us in Romans chapter 1 and he said everybody's without excuse, even those that don't have the gospel because they have the law of creation. He's not talking about the law of creation here. He's not talking about the civil law given to nations. He's not talking about the five books of Moses. That's sometimes called the law. Those first five books of the Bible written by Moses, that's sometimes called the law. He's not talking about the Old Testament Psalms and prophets and all the Old Testament scriptures. That's called law sometimes. He's not talking about that. Paul is speaking of the old covenant law of works, which God gave by the hand of angels through a mediator, Moses, at Mount Sinai. He's talking particularly about the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial law. The law is one law. Men divide it. God doesn't. The law is one law. Now, our text today is declaring to whom the law speaks. It's declaring what it says to them. And it's declaring the end purpose for which God gave it. And those would be our divisions. To whom it speaks, what it says, and the purpose for which God gave it. Now, first of all, to whom does the law speak? The law of the Ten Commandments, the whole ceremonial law, to whom does it speak? The whole old covenant law of works. It technically began when God gave one law to Adam in the garden. That was a covenant of works. But then God added over 600 laws at Mount Sinai. Some of those were civil laws He gave to just the children of Israel. But we're particularly here talking about the law of the Ten Commandments and the whole ceremonial law. Now, who does God say is under that law? Who does He say is under that law? He says here, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Now, who is under the law? Let's answer that by answering who's not under the law. None are under the law to whom Christ has come and given faith to rest in Him for righteousness and holiness and all acceptance with God. We're not under the law to whom Christ has come and given faith to rest in Him for holiness and righteousness and all acceptance with God. Go over to Galatians 3 and look at verse 19. Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. If you want to capitalize that word seed, you can. Because back in verse 16, we're told that that seed is Christ. God gave the law till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, by His faithfulness, might be given to them that believe, to them that believe in Christ. But before faith came, and again, I'm of the opinion you can capitalize F in faith because he's talking about Christ. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto, and the word is until. Shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster until Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He's saying what he said in Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So, none are under the law to whom Christ has come and given faith to trust Him for our holiness, our righteousness, all acceptance with God. We're not under the law. So he's not talking to us. None are under the law who are under grace. Look at Romans 6 and verse 14. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Remember, he's speaking to believers here, born of God. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Under grace means we're under that rule of Christ we looked at Thursday night, the law of faith and love. None are under the law for whom our old husband, the law, is dead. You get what I'm saying? If our old husband was the law, but for you to whom he's dead, and you're dead to him, you're not under the law. Now you're married to Christ, and you're under the law to Christ your husband, just like a wife is under the rule of her husband. Look over at Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For the woman, this is an illustration, okay? Don't get hung up on the illustration and miss the point of the illustration. The woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law. So that she's no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now here's the point. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you shall be married to another, even to Christ who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We're married to Christ, we're under His rule, and just like a husband produces fruit in his wife, Christ produces fruit in His bride. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So we're serving now in newness of spirit. What does that mean? Well, none are under the law who are led of the Spirit of God. That's what it means. To worship God in spirit is to be led of the Spirit of God, taught of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:18 says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does it mean to be led of the Spirit? The psalmist said in Psalm 25:5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. God's leading His people. Christ is leading His people, and He's teaching His people the truth. He's teaching us the way. You realize this is what most religion doesn't believe? I think it's a lack of faith. Do you believe that Christ really is in our midst just as real as He was when He walked this earth in the flesh? He is. And He's the one teaching His people. He's the one who actually effectually comes through the preaching of the gospel and teaches us in our hearts. It's Christ that does it. And He's leading us in the way we should go. None are under the law who are in Christ, who are made a new creation, who walk by the rule of faith, which works by the constraint of Christ's love. Look over Galatians 5:5. Galatians 5:5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Is that a rule? Is that a law that we're under? Go to Galatians 6:15. Look at here. He says, God forbid, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the Lord is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. That means it doesn't matter if you are under the law and trying to keep it or if you don't have the law. That's not what matters. But a new creature. Being made an entirely new creation. Look, and as many as walk according to this rule, faith which works by love, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. So we're not under the law. If we're in Christ, if we're made a new creation, if we're walking by the rule of faith which works by the constraint of Christ's love, we're not under the law. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That is, in opposition to the law of Moses constraining us. The love of Christ constrains us because we have discernment now to discern that if Christ died for all His people, then right now, all the old man of sin is dead for all His people. So that we who now live, don't live unto ourselves, but we live unto Christ who loved us and died for us. You get that? This is what it is to be under the rule of faith which works by love. You're going to be under some rule. You can just forget saying, I'm a free man. I'm not under the law of Moses or under the law of Christ. Then you're an antinomian. See, Romans 6 says we're either the servants of sin or we're the servants of Christ. One of the two. We're going to be under a rule. And the rule of Christ is an easy and light yoke. Faith and love. By faith we fulfill the whole law of God. Because Christ established it for us. We don't make void the law through faith. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law through faith. Even as Abraham did 430 years before it was given. That's a great blessing. Isn't that a light yoke? Believe on Christ. And rest. And just love one another. John, Kelsey, this is our newlyweds. Let me ask you. Is it a strain for y'all to love one another? Is that a big, hard burden for you? It's a light and easy yoke, isn't it? That's what we're talking about. All right. None are under the law who are made righteous in and by Christ. Go to 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. And look here now. 1 Timothy 1, Paul says, verse 9, let's read verse 8. We know, let's read verse 7. Some are desiring, let's read verse 6. Well, let's read verse 5. Hold on a minute. Now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. That's what I just said. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous man. If you are righteous in and by Christ, the law is not made for you. You get that? The law's not made for you. The law's made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane and murderers of fathers and mothers and manslayers and on and on and on. The law's made for those outside of Christ who've not been made righteous in Christ. That's who it's made for. So, who are under the law? Who's under the law? We look to it not under the law. Who's under the law? Let's review what we just saw. What we just heard, and we'll see who are under the law. All are under the law to whom Christ has not come and has not given faith to rest in Him for all their acceptance with God. If you're not believing on Christ and resting entirely in Christ, you're under the law. All are under the law who are not under grace. All are under the law who are not married to Christ under His rule as a wife under the rule of her husband. All are under the law who are not led of the Spirit of God. All are under the law who are not in Christ, who are not made a new creation by the new birth, who do not walk by the rule of faith, which works by the constraint of Christ's love. If you have to have law to rule you, you're under the law. All are under the law who are not made righteous in and by Christ. And that means all who profess to believe on Christ, but are yet going about to establish their own righteousness or their own holiness by the works of the law. Telling sinners, unless or except you go back to the law of Moses and keep the law, you can't be saved. Well, you're under the law. If that's how you think, you're under the law. Now, get what our text says. The law only speaks to them who are under the law. Now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. So, if you're not under the law, you're under grace, the rest of this is not even going to apply to you. It's not what the law doesn't say anything to you. This is what it used to say to you, but doesn't say this to you anymore. Now, what does the law say to them that are under the law? What does it say? Romans 3:19. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law says to all who are under the law, shut your mouth. That's what the law says. Shut up. Just shut up. The first thing God teaches the sinner by His law is this. This is rule number one. This is the number one first thing God has to do. You ever tried to witness to somebody? And, I mean, the minute you stop speaking, they open their mouth and butt. And act like they know everything there is to know about the Word of God. So if they're going to hear something, first thing that's going to happen is they're going to have their mouth shut. Right? That's the first rule. Look here, back up to Romans 3:4. Here's the first number one rule God's going to teach. Let God be true, but every man a liar. That's the first rule right there. God is true. He's the rock. His work is perfect. All His ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity. Just and right is He. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. God is true. And every man by nature is a liar. That's you and me and everybody in this world. God's law shuts our mouths as liars. Scripture says, surely men of low degree are vanity. and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Scripture says, thou worm Jacob. Do you know what the word worm means? Maggot. That's what God's law says about you and me. Shut our mouth, shut your mouth, because you're a maggot before God. I was at the trash man every year has picked up those crawfish the Thursday right after the crawfish boil, and this year he didn't. And they sat there till Sunday, and they were full of maggots. And every time I'd open up that thing, I'd just, ugh. That's you, and that's me. A maggot feeds on one thing, death. And that's all we feed on. By nature, is death. Everything a man thinks is life by nature and spiritual is death and carnal by nature. Thou worm Jacob. Thou maggot Jacob. And every man is he just a liar. The voice said, cry. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. When is a man going to be made to shut his mouth? When is he going to hear the law and realize, I'm a liar? When the Spirit of God blows on him. All his goodness, he was bloomed out. He thought he was a rose. And God's going to blow up on him, and when he does, he's just going to wilt and become just an ugly old dandelion. God, by his law, teaches the sinner he's guilty before God. By his law, God brings the sinner to the place he brought David. Where was David brought? David was brought to say, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be just when you speak, and be clear when you judge. He does it no matter who we are. He says that all the world may become guilty. That means everybody. You know, we have a way of judging, don't we? We judge those who are profane and drunks and dope heads. We judge them one way. We judge those who are our friends another way. We judge those who are our family another way. And we judge those who are our children and our wives and husbands an entirely different way. Don't we? Not God. Not God. He says all the world. It doesn't matter if you're profane, you're drunk, you're the harlot, or if you're setting up in the White House. It don't matter. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. If there were any that did seek God, they all gone aside. They together become unprofitable. There's none good. No, not one. None that even seeks God. It doesn't matter who we are, what we are in the world. We could be highly educated, we could be uneducated. We could be rich, we could be poor. We could be male, we could be female. We could be Jew, we could be Gentile. It doesn't make any difference. The law speaks to you and all the world. He says, shut your mouth, you guilty. That's what God teaches you when He comes and makes the law, make you hear the law. We try to look at those that we think are worse than us, and we try to judge them and justify ourselves and act like we wouldn't do that. He takes that and he says, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, because you do the same thing. When we judge somebody and we say, well, that's awful, they shouldn't do that. We're judging ourselves, because in just a little while we'll be doing the same exact thing. He shuts our mouth as totally ruined and guilty in sin. He shuts our mouth so that no flesh of glory in His presence. Now, every sinner here, and now I'm saying this mainly to professing believers who say, but the believer is still under the law. Well, if you want to be under the law, that's what the law says to you. I don't care if you do profess to believe Christ. If you want to put yourself back under the law, then that's what the law says to you. Shut your mouth. You're guilty. You see, it doesn't matter if God has given you a new heart or He hasn't given you a new heart. To everybody He's given a new heart, there's still an old sinner in you, so that everything you do is mixed with sin, so that there's no way you can go back to the law and claim to have ever kept it at all for anything. We can't do that. These men that claim they've kept the law have never kept the law, not in themselves. You can't keep the law. If we could have kept the law at all, then all God would have had to do was pour out His Spirit on us, so now we could go to the law of Moses and keep it ourselves, and we'd have been fine. But that wouldn't do. So He had to send His Son. And only His Son kept the law. Only His Son fulfilled the law. Now, can you take your place at God's feet with your mouth in the dust and confess yourself to be what God says you are, guilty before God? You see, God's not going to save you or me until we're brought to the place where we shut our mouths from boasting and justifying ourselves and confess to God, I am not worthy to be saved. I'm a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. That's all I am. We got to be brought there before God's going to do anything for us. That's what the law is given for. That's what the law is given for. In the hand of God, He comes and brings us to that place using His law. Now, thirdly, what was that purpose for which God gave the law? Romans 3:20. Watch this now. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God never gave the law for a sinner to use it to justify himself or to make himself holy. God didn't give it for that reason. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. That old covenant law is a covenant of works. When God gave the law, He said, this do, and thou shalt live. You do this law right here, and you can have eternal life. So to be justified before the law, here's what you have to do. To be justified before the law, by the works of the law, we have to keep the law with absolutely no sin, and I'm talking about all the law, with absolutely no sin in thought, word, or deed. That's what you have to do. Romans 2:13, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Listen to James 2:10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. That's why Paul said in Galatians 3:10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Because it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see what a curse the law is? Isn't it amazing that men who profess to believe Christ will yet go back and say, I'm under the law, when the Scripture clearly says everybody who's under the law is under the curse? Because you have to continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. All things. You can't take the law and bring it down to man's level and act like God's changed it now what is it I have to ask for because I'm deaf? You know, a consideration or accommodation. You know, that's the thing. If you got a handicap, you tell somebody, I need an accommodation. And man, they'll jump over themselves, do whatever you want them to do. Well, God's not going to give you an accommodation. He's not going to bring His law down to your mind and your level. No, sir. He don't do that just because Christ has come. The law had to be fulfilled. God's holy and righteous, and His law had to be kept in every jot and tittle. Christ said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. So don't think I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Men will take that and they'll say, see there, we're still under the law. He didn't destroy it. He said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Is it your and my job to fulfill the prophets? Only Christ could do that, and only Christ can fulfill the law. That's what He was talking about. Filling it full, giving it everything it demands so that there cannot be one drop added to it. That's what He did for His people so that there's nothing we can give the law. The law says, I don't want anything you can give to me. I've already got everything I want. From Christ your head, He gave it to me. Therefore, God's sinful people are justified one way, by Christ bearing our sin and curse under the law. And when He gives us spiritual life, the way we attain to the righteousness of the law is through faith in Christ. God imputes righteousness to His people because Christ made us, really and truly made us, the righteousness of God. Imputation is not God treating you like you're righteous. Imputation is God declaring you what Christ has fully, completely, totally made you by His blood and His obedience. That's right. Now, look at Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faithful obedience of Jesus Christ. It's unto all and it's upon all them that believe. That's the only way you're going to have His righteousness. Believe on Him. For there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Look at Romans 3:28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Listen to Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul said, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ might be freely given to them that believe. What's the promise? He told Abraham, in you all nations are going to be blessed. What's that to be blessed? It's to be blessed with all spiritual blessings. Justification, sanctification, redemption, wisdom, to be made like unto God so that God will receive you, so that you'll be perfect. How am I going to receive that blessing? The Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ might be freely given to them that believe. That believe. You see how opposite faith is to works? They're diametrically opposed. And get this now. Anybody who professes faith in Christ and then goes back to the law, moral or ceremonial, for justification or sanctification, Christ shall profit you nothing. Because now you're a debtor to do the whole law. Moral and ceremonial. That's what Paul's whole letter to the Galatians is about. Go to Galatians 5. Look at verse 1. And men will try to totally disannul this by saying, now he's just talking about ceremonial law. No, sir. He's talking about moral law and ceremonial law because you can't keep either one of them. Watch this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, and you can put anything in that place, if there's anything you have to do to add to what Christ has done, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Grace and works can't mix, brethren. Law and grace can't mix. We're either under grace and not under law, or we're under law and not under grace. That's just how it is. They don't mix. All right, so we see God gave the law to sinners for one reason. Look at verse 20. Romans 3:20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's why it was given. Now get what that's saying. It was not given as a code of moral ethics. It was not given as the believer's rule of life. Oh, I just offended about 99% of religion. Go back and listen to Christ's new law. You'll see that new law is not that old law. Or Christ would have called it new. And when John said, a new commandment I give you, which is the old commandment which you had from the beginning, he wasn't talking about Moses. He was talking about that old commandment that Christ gave you from the beginning. Listen to this. It's not the believer's rule of life. It wasn't given as a motive for Christian service. It was not given as a measure of sanctification. It was not given to be the grounds of our assurance. It was not given as a basis for reward in heaven. The only purpose of God's holy law is to identify, expose, and condemn our sin, shutting us up to Christ alone for acceptance with God. That's why the law was given. Romans 5:20. Look there. Romans 5:20. This is what Paul's going to come to. It's this whole point in this Roman letter. Justification by faith apart from the works of the law. And that includes sanctification. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Look at Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. He had it. He had the law. But like most men, not being born of God, he thought he could keep the law. And so he thought he was really keeping it. That was the concupiscence. It was working in him. But watch this. But when the commandment came, when God made me hear the law, sin revived. Sin became alive. And I, like a flower, in all my glory, died. The Spirit blowed on my flesh, and I died. Watch this. Verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. That's why the law was given. The only reason the law was given. You get that? Do you understand that? That's why it was given. To reveal our sin. To make us see we're sinners. So be sure to understand. All men, right now, right here where we sit, all of us are either under all the old covenant law of works and therefore guilty before God, or we're righteous through faith by the righteousness of Christ. We're either under grace or we're under law. We're either led of the Spirit or we're led of our sinful flesh. We're either taught of God in spirit, looking only to Christ, or we're taught by the letter of the law and we're looking to our flesh. One of the two. We place no hope whatsoever in our obedience to the law. We have neither salvation nor sanctification nor reward by our obedience to the law. We trust nothing but Christ alone, and we trust Him for all things. Redemption, justification, sanctification, assurance, and preservation. We trust Him for all. One last scripture, Galatians 2:19. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. That's what he means by I, through the law, am dead to the law. I'm crucified with Christ. Now, how am I going to live unto God? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That is, by His faithfulness leading me, abiding in me, teaching me. And this is Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now listen, here's my whole point right here. Here's my whole point. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Any man that says you're under the law as a believer, any man that sends you back to Mount Sinai, to leave Mount Zion and go back to Mount Sinai for anything whatsoever, he's frustrating the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. And here's why. Now listen to the charge. If righteousness come by the law, if holiness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's why we don't go back to the law. Christ didn't die in vain. Christ accomplished righteousness and holiness for His people. And when Christ abides in you through faith, you have been created anew in the righteousness of Christ and in the true holiness of Christ, and you're accepted of God. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You've given us such a glorious message and You've made us to see what sinners and wretches we are. Lord, make us to honor Your law. Make us to rejoice in how good and just it is by never, ever bringing it down to our level and claiming we've kept it. Make us rejoice in how holy and good Your law is by only declaring it must be fulfilled by Christ alone. Keep us, Lord, looking to Him only. Keep us ever trusting He's our only righteousness. Lord, keep us ever proclaiming His holy name. We pray, Lord, You would now speak and shut some sinner's mouth. Make him guilty. Make him see what he is. Shut him up to Christ alone. Lord, this is our message. This is our hope. This is our all. And we pray, Lord, You bless it now to Your honor and Your glory. Lord, bless the food we're going to eat later. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. We thank You, Father. Everything we have came from You. We thank You in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.